Welcome one and all once again to Dual Worlds in episode 142. We are 2 weeks away from E3, which is an exciting time of the year, but joining me this week we have Daniel.
Hello.
And we have Martin.
Hello.
Up this week, and we'll get to it in a bit, we're going to discuss our thoughts of Sony at E3. In case you didn't know, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I said it every year we do it. We do these in order of press conference, so there's no, like, oh, we want to talk about this first one. It's just whatever, you know, Microsoft goes first, and third parties at Sony, then whatever you want to call Nintendo's event, they go last. So yeah, that's why we're doing Sony this week and Nintendo next week, and then who knows with our E3 thingamajiggy. Anyhow, before we get there, let's talk about what we've been playing recently, and I believe Martin wants to kick us off.
Yeah, I played through Wolfenstein The New Order on PS4.
I was going to say, did you have any frame rate problems? But you don't play games on PC, do you?
No.
The PC version of that game is horrible.
Eugh. That's a shame, because on PS4 I didn't have any technical issues.
I bought a £280 graphics card, like, 2 months ago, and I get 20 FPS in that game.
That seems like, remember when Rage came out,
yeah,
and all the PC players were also complaining about
it? Take 5 is a piece of crap, and I wish they would stop using it.
I assume they will soon. I would assume the Evil Within will be the last Take 5 game.
No, it won't be,
ever.
Doom.
No, that can't be
Take
5.
They can't have an id game that doesn't use their own engine, come on.
Jesus. Anyway, Wolfenstein. So I was a bit disappointed with the game when I started out playing it, because just like when I played back at Gamescom last year, I thought it took way too much control away from a player early on. But thankfully, that stopped in the second half of the game, and then they tried their hand at making kind of more sandboxy levels. And they also give you, and because of that, they give you way more freedom in how you want to tackle all the enemy encounters, which is actually pretty great because the gunplay is really good. This game clearly doesn't give a shit about realism, so you can dual wield assault shotguns if you want to, or sniper rifles.
The best bit is when you're in a small corridor and there's a guy in the corridor with two shotguns and you have two shotguns and it's just a matter of who can shoot the most shotguns. But
yeah,
how do you do wield snipers?
Does it really matter?
Well, yes, it does. I'm kind of curious as how do you aim properly with that, but
you don't. You just pull the triggers and they shoot.
Yeah, that's how Wolfenstein works.
It's Wolfenstein, man. I think the gunplay is really satisfying in this game, and the enemies explode in satisfying ways, let's say this way. And the only thing I'm like I said, I think the start of the game is not that great. And my other issue with it is, I think tonally the game is all over the place. Like, it doesn't really know if it wants to be serious or wants to be a satire or just wants to be batshit insane. It kind of switches between those three modes all the time. And I would have wished they went all out just with the crazy part, because I think both parts work the best in this game. Like, for example, when, spoilers, you get to the moon at some point.
I was going to say, because I haven't gotten to that bit yet. I've only played the first 3 hours, because, like I just said, I'm playing at 20 FPS now. It gets to a point where it's like, why am I even trying? I'm just going to have to quit the game and wait for Bethesda to fix it. But, like, the beginning, in the first 3 hours, like, the game plays out a lot like a Quentin Tarantino movie, and I really like that. So if it sort of veers into seriousness, that's kind of sad, because, like, Quentin Tarantino movie, it's got, it's got enough grit to it, but also it's kind of campy.
It gets way too serious when you get into this, like, a death camp level, and that just gets way too serious, and that doesn't really jive well with the rest, I thought, for example.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you guys know what I think of the game in 3 months' time when Bethesda probably maybe fixed it.
Overall, I thought it was a fine game. It's not nothing super special, but I think for a first-time effort from Machine Games, I mean, they're a new studio, technically, pretty good. If I would have to review it, it's probably like, on our review scale, a 5 out of 7, or maybe a 6 out of 7, I don't know, something like that. So the other game I played was Transistor, the follow-up to Bastion. And I wasn't a big fan of Bastion. I thought the narration stuff was kind of cool. I thought the art was beautiful, but on the gameplay side, it was kind of boring to me. That kind of game to me is always something I look more forward to. Also having more loot, and Bastion doesn't really have loot, and it's just all about the combat, and to me it just wasn't that exciting. Transistor has a very different combat system, in which you have your weird mechanical sword thingy, and you kind of get and you get like code for your sword, and the code is basically like action, so you can have like a piercing shot which goes through some walls and through multiple enemies, or you can have can place like bombs which explode when you hit them and stuff like that. And you technically you can when you get into an encounter. This game basically has like role-playing encounters. You reach a part of the level and walls go up and you are in an encounter. You could technically fight in real time. You can use all these the actions you have in real time, but that's not really optimal because the enemies most of the time just outnumbers you way too much, and they're sometimes can be pretty hard. So what you actually do is you stop the time, and then you have like a bar of which shows you how much actions you can do. So basically, if I run, the bar slowly ticks down. If I use, for example, a simple slash, that will also take a bit away from the bar. So I can queue up all kinds of action, hitting multiple enemies, stuff like that, then activate it, and Red, the character you play in this game, basically in quick succession executes all those actions, and then for a short time you can do nothing except dodge. And that actually makes the game really interesting. How you set up the enemies in a way so you can maximize your damage output, how you combine your different actions, and also how you equip your actions beforehand, because you get way more actions than you can actually equip. You can only equip 4, but the actions can also be used at, I think they call it subroutines. So if I have my normal slash, I can put one of those other actions as a subroutine into it, which then makes it possible that backstabs are stronger and stuff like that. And you can also use some of those routines as passives. So one thing I have is normally a shot which bounces between enemies, but if I equip it as a passive, I get a shield for a short amount of time, and stuff like that. So it's really interesting how you try to experiment with these actions and how they interact with each other, and how you plan out your actions then inside of these little enemy encounters. And you also, most of the time, you actually have to experiment, because if you get hurt too much and you lose your life, you don't automatically die. What they do is they take away a subroutine from you, a routine. So you basically lose one of your actions. And you lose that actions until you've reached two of those points where you can change your actions. So if that happens after an encounter, I basically have to switch around all my actions and think again, how do I combine them in an effective way, how I want to play, and stuff like that. So you also are basically in that way encouraged to experiment and find new and interesting ways to interact with these enemies. So I thought that part is really great. What I'm so far not a fan of is, I think the voice acting is great. It's the same guy who did the narration in Bastion, but I think the whole story is just way too obtuse. It felt like, when I started the game, it felt like I skipped this cutscene because you have no idea what's going on. It's totally in medias res. And the story just unfolds through some things the sword says when you go through the world, but it's really so little that it's very hard to actually understand what is going on. And I'm a fan of environmental storytelling, but I think this game goes a bit too far because you actually, basically, you have to put in work to get anything out of it. So I actually have to unlock descriptions and the routines I have so that I can hopefully understand what the hell is going on in the story. I don't think that's that great.
I think the story just needs to be something that just happens.
Yeah.
Instead of you having to go out your way to...
Well, yeah.
It doesn't feel
natural anyway.
Well, is the story that they give you outside of that decent, or is it like, okay, you can only know what's between point A and B if you read all this stuff?
I honestly don't read that stuff because I'm too lazy for that, and I have no idea what's going on so far. I played for, like, I think 2 or 3 hours. So...
That's
I guess
never.
There's some weird process that has attacked the city, but for some reason I've been also fighting other humanoids, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't think it's that great. Maybe it changes the further I get along, but so far I'm not a fan how they tell their story. On the combat side, though, I think this game is fantastic, and I can already recommend playing it.
And it's not as repetitive as Bastion was.
Sorry?
And is it as repetitive as Bastion was? Because that's my problem with Bastion. Is it
I said, because of how often you get new actions and how you can combine them different ways, the combat often feels very different.
Right,
and
cool.
The enemy variety is also, I think, more varied. And yeah. Like I said, if you lose all your life, you're forced to actually change things up. So I think that will keep things fresh through the whole game. Also, they do the Bastion thing of that you can make the game more difficult for yourself. You can say, like, oh yeah, I want to give the enemies more health, and in return I get more experience points and stuff like that. Because at its heart, unlike Bastion, this is really an RPG, just with very interesting, basically an action point allowance system, but without it actually surfacing those action points. It's just a bar that slowly depletes when you do your actions.
Yeah.
So it was still recommended. I think gameplay wise it's really cool, just not sure about the story yet completely.
Well, maybe if you read more.
Yeah, maybe.
Have you been playing anything new, Daniel?
Trying to play Wolfenstein. No, I haven't.
No. And I guess just a minor update. I was actually in the process of writing this review before we started this show. I've been playing Squid's Odyssey, which I think I mentioned last week, which is a port of a mobile game with some additional content, and I was really high on it last week. And I still think it's a good game. I think the problem is, kind of going with your discussion on Transistor and Bastion, is the game doesn't evolve beyond the start. So, like, what I saw during, like, the first 10, 20 minutes of the game is pretty much how it's continued within hour 6 and hour 7. And that does kind of get old quickly. It's like, yeah, this is fun, but I want more. And for an RPG where you can level up your characters and stuff, but they don't... It's just like you gave them more health, you give them a stronger shot, but you don't give them, you know, they don't get any new abilities, they don't get any new skills, so like the core combat remains the same, your strategy doesn't change because it doesn't have to. You get different enemies, but again, the core concept is just, you know, level up, you get more HP, you can kill them faster, and that's that's fun for a while, but when you stretch it out to, I think this is about a 12-hour game, it's just like, yeah, this just doesn't hold well. So I would still recommend it. I don't necessarily know if I would recommend it for $15 now. That'd be true when you can get it on mobile, I think, for like a buck or two. So there's that. And I guess real quick, because I went back to this weekend because I wanted something to play, NES Remix 2, which I think is a much better product than NES Remix 1. Huge fan of it. It has that spirit that I like in mobile games where you can pick up and play. You know, you can play for 5 minutes or you can play for a couple of hours if need be and still enjoy yourself. And I really do hope that they look into expanding this beyond the the Nintendo with, you know, maybe a Game Boy series, a Genesis series. Because I think it's a great way to sell, I hate using this term, but I think it's a great way of selling nostalgia, where you sell people piecemeals of old games they used to like, but giving them a new angle, a new guide on how to play it and stuff like that. It does offer a unique challenge that you probably won't necessarily get by replaying the same game you played 100 times as a kid. So yeah, there's that. So, not time for news. We, I guess the biggest news of this week was this hasn't gone through yet, but the talks that Google is in the market to buy Twitch.
Mm.
That's not official yet, right?
No, it's not rumors, yet. And apparently there's like a bidding war that's going on behind the scenes, but, it was leaked that Google was, heading up the bidding war.
I mean, it seems likely who's going to outbid Google.
Yeah, especially when it comes to online video distribution as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's the thing. Is like, I don't know why they need it. They have YouTube.
Here's why they need it. Is because a lot of the time when a lot of... Twitch is a viable alternative to YouTube. I mean, it's kind of a different service in the sense that Twitch is a live streaming service and YouTube is more video on demand, but
and YouTube's own streaming service really hasn't taken off.
Yeah, YouTube's streaming service hasn't taken off, and not only that is if a lot of people are fostering their communities on Twitch and sort of having YouTube as like a backup. So if they could, if they can basically eliminate this competition and have everyone under one umbrella.
Well, and that's basically that's what I'm thinking. It's like them trying to just get rid of their competition.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know if, I mean, I'm sure people remember it, but it, I mean, even before they bought YouTube, Google had their own video streaming service.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
didn't do too well, so they bought YouTube, and now nobody ever talks about Google Video anymore.
I don't think Google Video exists.
It hasn't existed for a
long time. Well, that's what I meant. It's like, like they bought YouTube and it disappeared. So it's like one of those things where it's like, if you can't compete with them, just buy them. Because, I mean, Google, as good of a company as they are, they have had, I think recently at least, they've had more misses than hits with stuff like Google Wave, and I would put up Google Plus up there.
Google Buzz, and yeah.
Yeah. So,
Let me tell you this. I would probably not be a big fan of this buyout, just because of what my YouTube experience has become over the years. As someone who lives in Germany, it's a lot of, this video is not available in your country, or the gamer has blocked this video because of the music content in it.
Not to mention the poor loading times that YouTube has been experiencing lately, the bugged up sub boxes, the, you know, endless amounts of issues. And
or add the monetization issues people have. So I'm very fearful of what the Twitch experience might become for me.
And this is the problem, is Twitch at some points is bad enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to get any worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, to Martin's point, and this is what happened with YouTube. YouTube, before Google bought it, and I'm not blaming Google for this, I'm blaming other companies for this, but before Google bought it, you had a lot of content on it, and granted, some of it wasn't, you know, but once you kind of have money behind it, companies can start suing you because they know they're going to get something, and that's when you start saying, like, oh, this, you know, you can't have like, the Beatles song on YouTube, so you can't use clips on WWE and stuff like that. And that's when you, and that's going to be like, you know, when is it, you know, like, we have it with game companies now where game companies will block YouTube videos because it shows the game in a bad light. When will we start seeing that for other games? When will we see, like, oh, you can't stream this game if you're going to make fun of it? Or, you know, we're not going to allow you to archive this game because we want people to watch, you know, buy it out themselves or something like that.
It's already said that Twitch blocks users from streaming games when they got them early.
Well, they don't even do that half the time because I've been watching Watch Dogs streams for the past three or four days.
Yeah, but officially they are shutting them down. Officially.
Officially.
They should be, at the very least.
When I went on Twitch yesterday, the message popped up, don't stream Watch Dogs until the 27th, or we will content DMCA.
I've seen whole lists, like when you would stream a game on PS4, it automatically puts the game you're streaming into the sort of the title that they have in the listings on Twitch. You click Watch Dogs, and there's like 15 streams, and it's like, you're not doing anything about it.
Okay, but I think that's a whole different discussion, though, because I don't see why a company should be able to block.
Well, this is the thing, though, is if this YouTube buyout goes through, they're actually going to take them down. They're actually going to do something about it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean, because once you, like, if you sue Twitch right now, what are you going to get?
Yeah.
Yep. Like, you can sue Google, they have a lot of money.
Yep.
It's the same thing with, I don't think we have it in the show notes, but the Oculus Rift and ZeniMax. Where it's like they're suing them, I forget what now. But yeah, they have that Facebook money, so now it's the time. Yeah. If you don't want to sue a company that has no money, you're going to end up spending more on legal fees than anything.
Yeah.
That's why Pirate Bay kind of stays in business. What are you going to get from them?
Yeah.
You get a lot of funny letters, apparently.
Yeah, and they'll put up a. They have no money. It's not like they run for profit or anything, so you can't. But any other company, it's like, yeah, we can sue them. And like I said, I do think it's always better to have competition than to say, oh, this is your one option, and if this doesn't work, or, you know, like with YouTube, they had those recent changes that the content creators were pitch booted, and like, but you can't really foster much of an environment without YouTube nowadays, because. Like, even some of the alternatives, which exist, aren't that great. I guess the biggest one would be Vimeo?
Well, you can't use Vimeo for video games. They ban you outright if you upload video game footage. I think, and this is why Twitch has become popular, because if you, for whatever reason, can't use YouTube for your content, just stream on Twitch regularly, and you gain your fan base that way.
And you can actually archive your streams. So
not to mention is people can pay you directly if they feel like supporting you on Twitch.
Yeah. But there are some streaming alternatives, but nothing I think as good as Twitch.
Welcome back. What was that other one? Ustream. There we go.
Yeah, Ustream technically is Twitch.
Justin TV is Twitch.
Ah, right, Justin TV was Twitch, yeah, right.
I forgot about Justin TV.
Well, for good reason.
That's how popular Twitch has gotten lately, compared to Justin TV, is people forgot about it.
Well, I think people forgot about Justin TV for a good reason, but, yeah.
Yeah, so Ustream is there, but there's some one other gaming-focused one, not OWNED. OWNED, I think, is
OWN3D done. Doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but there was another one.
Hitbox.
Hitbox, yeah, that was I was thinking about.
Yeah.
But that's not as good, I think, right?
No, it's not.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm sure people will support it until it gets there, if Google does what they did to other services with this buyout. Or if it becomes more of a hassle to kind of get something streaming, like, you know, kind of going back to the Watch Dogs things, like, I think it's silly that a company can say, like, you own this game, and it's not, you know, like, especially if you got it legitly, like, if you pirated it, I can understand. But if a store was willing to sell it to you early, especially being that you aren't allowing reviews of this product until it comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Also, you, as a private person who bought this in a store early, you never subscribe to any NDA thing.
Yeah.
So, why block you?
Yeah, it's a joke.
It's a terrible, terrible joke, but yeah, I don't. I think day one embargoes are stupid, but.
And this is it. I've been.
They have a place for multiple reasons, but those good reasons are. Let's say it this way.
Few.
They're few, and for those reasons, the embargo doesn't need to end on the game release day.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say, I get embargoes. Embargoes make a ton of sense. Day one, like, you can't review this until it's on the shelves and people already bought it are stupid.
Yep.
Like, it's like the game comes out Tuesday. Have the embargo end on Monday. Have it
exactly.
End on Friday. I get the idea of embargoes are fine, so nobody rushes through the game to be first, so nobody, you know, everybody has a fair shot, you know,
yep.
Million and all that other stuff. That makes perfect sense. But to say, like, you can't talk about this game until people can literally have it on in their collection. You can buy it at midnight on PlayStation, you can buy it on PC at midnight, and you can go to a midnight launch. You can buy this game before reviews are actually out, and then the people who do have it early, even though there are some reviews coming through now, are being blocked because you have this silly rule in place. It's dumb.
Not to mention, like, I've been watching a guy tweet screenshots of the game from his PS4 every 20 minutes for the last 5 days. How stupid is it that here's a guy that just has the game and you fucking won't let the people that are supposed to be supposed to review it professionally to give us an idea whether it's any good or not?
And I don't want to get too much in this.
Bloody Conan got to review it.
I'm gonna say this about review embargoes. Like we said, they have the place because of the reason Earl's already said. But the thing of embargoes ending on release day is something that developed basically more and more during last console generation. Before that, we had way more reviews that could go out like a couple of days before, sometimes weeks before. Was way more prevalent like a couple of years ago. And I absolutely think it's because of the whole pre-order bullshit that the industry has created.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. And part of it is, you know, like Daniel says, like the people who review can't. But at the same time, these are the people who kind of made this behavior happen. Like, you should be like, you know what, if you're giving me a review copy, let me review it before this game comes out. And not like, oh, okay, you know what, you told me I can't review this until, not only, you know, like, not only is it day of, sometimes it's like, oh, you can't put up your review until like noon that day. So half a day of sales or whatever, or people went to get it before work or something. And yes, you can wait until reviews are out, but we live in a pre-order culture now where it's like, oh, pre-order this if you want to get all the content that we provided for this game, if you want to get these map packs or this extra skin or these day one characters and stuff like that.
I'm just going to say, I tried earlier to figure out what I will get with Watch Dogs. Should I buy it tomorrow at one of the retailers which will have it for cheap? I have no idea what I will be getting.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's like a chart out there for that, and that's another
thing. Yeah, I tried to read that. It didn't help.
Yeah, that's just good. But yeah, we're not going to harp on it too much because I do think that it's just Watch Dogs is a popular example, but it happens all the time nowadays.
Yeah.
I think South Park did it. It's weird, though, because you have, like, sometimes Sony's really good with it. Nintendo's extremely, I mean, we had Mario Kart reviews a week ago.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was really stupid, but.
It also shows confidence in your product.
Yeah, because, like, I think we've had this discussion before, because when people see movies aren't, like, we have Edge of Tomorrow reviews already, and that movie's not out for another 2 weeks here. But when you see, like, oh, a movie's not going to be reviewed until, like, Friday morning, like, okay, this movie's not going to be good. Because they have these reviews. If they're hiding it from the press, usually you think, oh, man, you know, Reddit. And a lot of times these video game reviews end up being good, so I don't get the point of hiding it.
The best example, I think, was Duke Nukem Forever, which was actually out on sale in Europe for a good 3 or 4 days before the review embargo was up. And it's just like, you knew.
Luckily, the European press didn't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, you knew that that was a piece of shit, and you wanted to get as many sales from the biggest market as possible. Fuck you, 2K.
Yeah. I was about to say, I don't think a review embargo should exist beyond I honestly don't think if the game's out for the public, if some Joe Schmo could play, say you get Watch Dogs at midnight and you play through it 5-6 hours and finish the game, you can put up a review before the press can. I don't see how that's fair, but like I said,
I mean, a lot of the press. I mean, I heard some things also pissed when people like that can basically, like I said, review the game before them and show things before them, and they have to abide to this bullshit.
Yeah, again, they accepted it. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, of course, it's partly their fault, but.
Yeah, it's not something like, okay, so one company asked us to do it, and we did. It's something that's been going on for a while, so that really
does. But the other problem is if they were like, yeah, okay, we won't sign the NDA, and then we won't get the game, and then they went out and bought it themselves and reviewed it early, then they would get blacklisted by Ubisoft instead.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, like, there are sites that are reviewing it already. Like, there's a thread on GAF, and I've heard of none of these companies before. Fikrin, Myth, CEX, T4 Mag, Gameblog. Okay, I think I've heard of Gameblog before.
The Gameblog thing, apparently, someone explained they don't sign NDAs, and apparently they probably just bought an early copy.
I mean, it's that bad that if you can do it as a consumer base, why not? Like you said, there were people streaming it all week, and there were people giving impressions and thoughts all weekend. And the press is—it's the same thing with like Geeks and Rumors, where they know stuff.
Did you say the CEX got a review?
Yeah.
CEX of all people—they are a company that doesn't even seek to serve companies like Ubisoft, because they're one of these companies that you. You trade new games, and you buy used games, and they don't sell new games at all.
Okay, I was about to say, we have them. I didn't even put two and two together, because they're a store. Like, their motto is, you're to buy and sell used games. It's not just games, but...
It's used electronics and games.
Yeah.
Also, I can tell you that most of the early stuff from Watch Dogs is probably coming out to Europe, because I don't know if it's in every country like that, but here in Germany, if you release a game on Tuesday, because of apparently how the logistics here work with how the video games are distributed, I could have technically bought the game on Thursday if I wanted to. Yeah. They have to send the stuff out really early because of the weekend.
But yeah, I guess moving on, because we can talk about this forever and ever, and we do have E3 to go. Just two more quick news stories, I guess. First would be the Dota 2. I guess one of you can explain this better, the Valve payment thing.
Obviously, every year Valve holds a Dota 2 tournament named the International, and they give away a lot of money to whoever wins it. For the last 2 years, they've had this thing in the game called the Compendium, and it's not a real book, it's just a thing that you can buy, and it lets you set up like a fantasy league for the tournament, and lets you make predictions and track a whole bunch of stats.
You also get some items with it.
Yeah, you also get some limited edition in-game items with it. And this year's Compendium, they said that they were going to have like a sort of a Kickstarter kind of model with it, where...
Well, they technically had that last year as well.
Yeah, but like this year, they put a lot more effort into it.
Yeah,
and so the more money, the more compendiums that get bought, the more money that gets put into the prize pool, and the more money that gets put into the prize pool, the more stuff you get out of the compendium. And the money that Valve contributed, as usual, was $1.6 million, which is for places 1 to 5, if I remember correctly.
Which is still a lot for eSports.
Which is the most it is given away on its own. But so far, as of right now, the prize pool is $6,802,633.
Yeah,
of which $2.50 of a $10 compendium goes into, and it's just amazing that like all these people have bought this fake book that doesn't even exist to get fake things in a game that doesn't even exist, and to contribute money to a tournament for something like this, because esports is a relatively new thing, and I just think it's amazing that we've managed to get this prize pool this high.
I think it's really cool the way they do it. I mean, it's not like they're just contributing to it, and the contribution is more like a side effect.
Yeah.
Like, I guess most people are probably like, oh yeah, I want to play this Fantasy League, I want to get those items and stuff like that. And $10 for those items, actually not a lot if you know some of those, what some of those visual things cost in Dota 2. So it's actually a good deal in that sense. And on top of that, you contribute to the esports pool, which is great. I mean, supporting esports is kind of a cool thing. And then they also have, like I said, these Kickstarter goals, but some people confuse them with like, oh yeah, you have to contribute, otherwise they won't make this stuff. Which is just not true. All the things that they have on these goals is something they plan to do, just when they reach the goal, they put it higher on the priority list.
Yeah.
That's what they also did last year, because last year were two heroes on there. It's not like they wouldn't do those heroes. It's just like, yeah, if you reach this, we will give you techies right now if you want to. That's the whole point. Also, the goals that are like about modes and stuff, everyone will get them. Even if you haven't bought a companion.
Yeah.
It's just
like, if you buy the companion, you get some extra goodies to go with it. Yeah,
exactly. So I think that's a great way to go about the whole thing, to be honest.
And it's nice to see that, we can make an impact. Like, not only do we get to watch people play a game that we like,
yeah,
but we also get to sort of positively impact the people that are playing those games.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
So I think it's really cool, and I think it's a shame actually that Valve haven't done any of this cool esports stuff with Counter-Strike, because
Of the money from those packs that they now sell go into some kind of esports?
Oh
thing?
Yeah, but I mean, like, they don't host their own tournament for Counter-Strike.
Oh yeah, like of course not.
You know, I would like to see the same thing for Counter-Strike, because I think they although the sort of the audience does kind of intersect a bit, like, there are still people that will just play Counter-Strike, and I think that they could also benefit from something like this. I'd like to see more people do it as well.
Yeah. That would be cool, indeed.
And I guess the final thing would be the SingStar announcement thingy-majiggy. That's all you, Martin.
Yeah, they announced a new SingStar game for PS4, and it also comes to PS3, apparently. Part that's most interesting about this is that they will no longer force you to buy a mic to play the game. It's a karaoke game, so what you will be able to do is install an app on your smartphone and then just use your phone as the microphone. I think that's actually pretty cool, because a lot of people already have smartphones. You don't no longer need to buy a mic, or if you don't have one around, that's a pretty good solution to this whole ordeal. What I'm not a fan of, though, is, since this is a karaoke game, this might sound weird, generally I'm not a fan of what I'm going to explain, but I think for a karaoke game that would probably be the better model. It sounds like they're again going to sell SingStar on a disc. And I don't know if I want to buy, at least not anymore, want to buy a karaoke game for, I don't know, 40, 50 bucks on a disc with, I don't know, 30 songs, of which potentially I may enjoy the half of it. I probably would have preferred it if they just made SingStar like a free app and I could just buy
rent
individual
time.
Songs
or
time,
time. Yeah.
Like Nintendo does it with their karaoke thing. I think that would probably be my preferred model, to be honest.
And it's really weird, because, like, the whole having your smartphone as a microphone thing is to say, well, if you don't want to pay for a mic, you don't have to. And now they're saying, oh, yeah, but you've got to pay for a disc with 30 or so
yeah.
songs on it.
At least at this point, it seems like that's what we're doing. Because it's actually weird, because they have a free-to-play SingStar version on PS3.
Yeah.
So why not continue with that?
Yeah, I don't know. Very strange.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm kind of, is there a mobile version of it, or is it just you can use your smartphone as a mic?
It's just use your smartphone as the mic, but you can also, well, it's a bit more, you can also set up like lists of songs so they play automatically one after another and stuff like that. But yeah, it's not a game on your phone. It's still a PS3 and PS4 game.
Okay.
It's just basically a companion app.
Companion Cube. Yeah. So I guess that will bring us to Sony at E3. And I guess that would kick off with... Well, I guess part of Sony at E3 this year is really just kind of to keep up to date of what they did last year. We're still waiting for Drive Club, even though we know when that's out.
Yeah.
We're still waiting for The Order.
Yeah.
We're still waiting for... What is it? The Shadow of the Beasts remake or sequel? I don't know what that was.
Yeah, Shadow of the Beasts, whatever it will be. I don't know if it will be a sequel at all. It's probably like a reimagining.
Okay, we still have... We have Uncharted 4, which they've already teased.
That will probably get a trailer, I think. I'm not sure if we will get the gameplay demo. Probably too early.
We have Rhyme.
Yeah.
Have everybody gone to the Raptor.
Yeah, that's something I guess we will also see. I mean, they will definitely have, like, again, an indie showcase thing in the conference, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
That went over well last year, so I would assume they will do that again.
Not to mention, it's still one thing that they have up on Microsoft.
Yeah.
I was just trying to get an update of like what we haven't gotten from them yet in order for them to, like, I assume a lot of these games we haven't seen anything of in the past year.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, from these indies we also haven't seen a lot of, right? It's like small clips and nothing more, so I would actually like to see more of them.
So, I mean, okay, we have that. I don't know how much time they're going to spend on it. They probably will talk about The Last of Us Remastered, because as far as I know, that still doesn't have a release date.
Yeah, it has to be out like sometime. August or something,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Can't imagine that being like a big fall release.
Well, I mean, we say that, and then, I mean, Nintendo did Wind Waker last year in October,
yeah,
and Microsoft is doing Halo, well, okay, there are rumors we're doing Halo Collection this fall, so it's a possibility.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I also doubt that would get much stage time.
Oh no, I don't think it would get much stage time. I was just thinking of like the stuff like, you know, like the stuff like, okay, here's the stuff you haven't seen in a year. Let's kind of update you on this.
Okay.
Yeah,
I would assume they will have a new Drive Club trailer.
Yeah.
A full Viorda gameplay demo.
Yes.
3 minutes.
2 minutes.
Has to be longer.
Yeah.
Sony titles, they give pretty long demos.
Oh, no, he's talking about the demo they showed on Friday,
which is two minutes.
Yeah.
That barely showed anything new.
Yeah, which was the point. It was like 2 minutes, and it's like, it's not the best way to reintroduce your game, even though they kind of had gameplay footage in February. It looks like a very... broken Gears of War.
And I just hope it finally show off those fucking supernatural enemies.
Yeah.
That's the whole time.
they kind of shut off the supernatural, well, not supernatural, but they have, like, I guess some of their guns, like, shoot bullets that, and, like, stuff on fire.
And the one woman in the 2 minutes on Friday, she shot, like, electricity out of her gun, which looked kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, and then...
They shot off some supernatural things because of the magic potion the one guy drank in the demo.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's, I guess, pretty well known. There should be werewolves in this, as far as we know, so I want to see those.
It's also weird what they decided to show. But not so much what they decided to show, but how they decided to show it. Because I don't know if that was a live stream or pre-recorded footage, but whoever was playing it was terrible at the game.
It would have been pre-recorded because they showed it twice.
Well, I thought it was just a quick replay of what they did before. But yeah, it's like the person didn't know how to shoot or aim in this game. Either they just really wanted to show how janky they were shooting wide and just missing.
Yeah,
they were showing off the particle effects. That's what they were doing.
It was a pretty bad demo.
It appears to be what... Next Gen is all about so far is just particle effects, because I mean, take Infamous Second Son.
Just give me, like, at E3, I want to see, like, a cohesive demo that is, like, one level or part of one level.
Yeah, or half a level, fine.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess
preferably with werewolves.
I guess the other thing, we kind of... Do you think this is out this year?
No.
Probably not. We have not seen enough at this point to say it's out this year.
If it's not out this year, what is Sony's fall lineup? It's
Drive Club and Indie Games.
That's not much of a lineup.
Yeah, they haven't had much of a lineup since the thing launched, though, have they?
Yeah, but I mean, at some point, I mean, I guess you can, like, again, I want to say, how do you, okay, because it's going to have games. There's stuff like Evolve, there's Batman, there's Destiny, so it's going to have games. But yeah, how much momentum will we have in the fall if people are just giving it goodwill because it's the system to get, when Microsoft is going to share 95% of those games? And while, yes, I don't think it's necessarily a huge thing for remastered, like, I think if you see Halo remastered on the thing, aside from Drive Club, at least you have something to go with.
Like, you're overthinking this. I told you before, most people buy third-party games. Third-party games are, like, the highest-selling games every time of a year, and those are going to drive for sales.
But I guess I'm not arguing that. I guess more or less I'm thinking, like, this is going, like, this year has been important. It's very important, and Sony has kind of gotten a big lead. But I also think that you're going to start seeing people submit which one they want to go with. And I think when you look at this fall, it's going to lean towards, if you continue from last year, it's going to lean towards Microsoft, and that people want to solidify where their friends are going for multiplayer.
It's not though. The early adopters went for the PS4, and to remember, like, people are still talking about PS4 being more powerful, and you want to play third-party games, it's the console to get.
Yeah, I get that, but I guess I'm thinking, like, Microsoft had Titanfall. If they have the Halo Collection, they have Destiny, they have Call of Duty. If you want to play online shooters, that's the system you're going to go with. And that still remains the most...
You have Call of Duty, you have Destiny on PS4 as well.
Yeah, yeah. But my point is, like, the difference is the exclusive games that Microsoft has in that genre that's leading you towards it. Like, if it comes down to, like, Call of Duty or Destiny, you can get either one, right? But if you say, okay, I want to play Call of Duty and I want to get other shooters, you go Microsoft. Like,
shooters do they have? They have Halo...
I don't think that. I mean, everybody that wanted Titanfall would have gotten one.
And that, my point is, like, you kind of build in that audience. So, like, if you, I mean, okay.
And I don't think a Halo collection is going to sway anybody because.
Oh no, exactly. I guess more. I'm thinking at least it's something. In the sense, like, I think Sunset Overdrive would also go in that direction, where, again, it's like, if you want to play multiplayer with your friends, that's the system to go with.
I think Sunset Overdrive looks interesting, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's not going to sell systems.
I'm not trying to say that's a system, sorry. I'm trying to say that
but
if...
You are arguing that one will buy an Xbox One over PS4 because of Sunset Overdrive.
No, what I'm arguing is, all things being equal... If you had a decision, it's based on exclusive games, is it not?
No.
And then what do you think?
What if I want to play Drive Club?
Okay,
people exist as well.
I'm not saying that they don't, but at the same time, what do you have to build towards Drive Club? At least with Microsoft, it's been like it's always been with a shooter box. So you had Titanfall, you have Sunset Overdrive, you have Halo Collection, you have Titanfall.
Sunset Overdrive, not a multiplayer game.
It is a multiplayer game.
No.
They said
it's not in.
No, they said that it's going to show off multiplayer at a different time. It has multiplayer.
I don't think that this year is going to be, especially even with Microsoft trying to sort of solidify themselves again as the shooter box, I don't think it's going to be enough, because the people that want Call of Duty and stuff, they'll just buy Call of Duty on their 360.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's going to be a recurring theme for a while. But I'm just saying, like, I get that it's about the exclusive games. I mean, it's about the third-party games. I guess, you know, they both have Call of Duty, they both have Destiny, they both have, you know, Batman, they both have Evolve, they both have Assassin's Creed. Oh, that's fine. I'm just saying, how do you start differentiating that through the average consumer?
Oh, I think if the order...
Well, if we have any... I don't know how much the exclusive content is swaying people. I have no idea. It doesn't always be, but maybe with the general public.
I think the order will... It will most likely be early next year, but if it's not, it will scrape this year. And I mean, people will buy a PS4 for that. I mean, the PS4 has a shooter. It has Killzone. And
yes.
And people just pick that up instead. I don't see...
Well, I guess it's that mentality we have in gaming where if what's next? Like, everybody's kind of played Killzone, they played Infamous, they played, even Titanfall, and yes, I know I bought a Titanfall. But the idea is that going into the fall, they need to continue momentum, which I do think both are kind of slowing down. I think Watch Dogs is going to help that, but one of the main reasons is that the PS4 was also $100 cheaper.
Yeah, and you're saying that's not the case.
And now, it's if it's price parity and it's game parity, what differentiates it to the average consumer? And there are people who are going to say it's power, you want the PS4, but to most people, they don't care or they don't know enough.
I don't know, I think we just have to wait and see, because we can't predict the future, can we?
We can't, but I'm just saying that...
And I think we can speculate, I mean, it's easy for me to say we can speculate all we want, but like... Right now, anything goes as far as current generation, because we've seen random delays come out of Sony, and we've seen random delays come out of Microsoft as well. So,
Also, I'm going to tell you, all the things you're arguing is only going to matter in the US, because Sony has Europe on lockdown.
Oh, yeah,
it's not going to matter over here, because here are people that will not buy a Microsoft console out of principle.
And not only that, it's a lot of people know somebody who own a current gen console already. I know somebody. I live with somebody who owns a PS4, so that means I'm probably going to get a PS4 regardless.
But that was what I was arguing beforehand.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. And that's what Martin's saying. I mean, in that Sony have already got Europe.
And there are certain markets that Microsoft really won't compete in. Like, Japan, Japan's a non-factor right now.
Japan is a non-factor no matter the console.
It's going to come down to Europe and, I guess, the States. And I think the States is still, North America is still a bigger game market.
Overall?
I think so.
All of Europe and US might be about equal. I'm not sure though.
Yeah, but I guess anyhow, going back to that, there's been words of this coming out that Sony's looking at. I know Beyond has been rumored for an upport. I imagine a lot of the late gen PS3 titles might be upported to the PS4. Just because I think part of it was because of that overhead, a lot of people probably didn't pay attention to it. And
I mean, Gran Turismo 6 is a great example for that. That game, I mean, Gran Turismo has always been a big seller, and Gran Turismo 6 didn't do really well.
And a lot of people asked why that wasn't on PS4 to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I could see stuff like that Beyond. I think it might be a stretch. I don't really think there's a huge market for it either way, but Puppeteer maybe.
I would buy it. I didn't play it on PS3.
Which is my point. It's like, because you kind of knew, like, oh, the PS4 is coming out in a month. The PS4 is already out with Gran Turismo. Like, then you can kind of say, okay, these people didn't get to play, so we'll give them additional content. And we'll put it out. And it does serve to fill in gaps in the library that exist. Yeah.
Gran Turismo would probably do really well, for example, as a PS4. But because I think a lot of people skip that because of a PS4. Really a lot of people. Because it didn't seem like much of an upgrade over GT5. It seemed like a fixed version of GT5, but people wanted more. And I guess a port would probably get them that, because the PS3 version, as far as I heard, also had some technical issues.
And I guess kind of going to the same point that I was making earlier, you have an audience with Drive Club that would be like, they're receptive to car games. I mean, granted, Gran Turismo is a huge franchise. It's Sony's biggest franchise. But yeah, getting that out there with Drive Club, you do kind of cater to that very... I don't want to say niche, because it's such a huge market, but I never know people who play these racing games.
There are a lot of them out there.
Oh, there are huge... I mean, it's a huge... Like, Gran Turismo sells like 10 million each copy, so it's a huge brand. I guess part of it is being in the States, and part of it is just, like, not knowing anybody, because it doesn't seem like a huge brand.
You know me. I play Gran Turismo.
Yeah, but Europe. It's Europe, because I remember last year you folks were all crazy about Drive Club and Gran Turismo 6, and I'm like, I don't know anybody who plays this stuff, but you folks can keep on having your car game.
Europe love it, because mainly because, what is it, they put, I mean, now it's about putting the Top Gear stuff in the racing games, and everybody loves Top Gear in Europe, so
yeah, that does well. I don't know.
Also, cars are awesome.
Cars are
general.
Awesome. Yeah. I prefer my racing games more arcadey, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's just you.
I'm not going to disagree. Even Need for Speed, which is the biggest arcadey shooter, I mean racer, it's not compared to Gran Turismo. So,
no, I also enjoy arcade races, but I still enjoy arcade races with which use real cars more.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Hey, Burnout stuff. Well, Burnout uses somewhat real cars.
Yeah, they are at least inspired by real cars.
So, yeah.
What else about Sony? What else do they have?
Who is free to make a game? Sony Ben, I don't think we've heard from since.
So, Sony Ben, I think I don't know if we can expect something this year, but we should expect a PS4 title from the job openings they had over the last few years.
Okay, who else is there? I don't expect much from Guerrilla Games, they just had something. Sucker Punch is...
They also said that they might not be ready for E3.
Yeah, Sucker Punch isn't Sony exclusive, are they?
They are.
They own Sony.
But they just did a game.
They just released Second Son, so it's unlikely.
They'll probably announce an expansion like the one they did for Infamous 2.
Or maybe, that would be cool.
Yeah, that could work.
One thing, though, about Guerrilla Games, they are, though, seems very likely working on an RPG.
Okay. That does remind me, we haven't heard much from Sony Japan.
Yeah. We haven't heard anything also from Guerrilla UK.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's been rumors of Project Beast. And by rumors, we mean we're going to have this call it a rumor, even though it's pretty much all pointed towards it being an actual game.
Yeah. I would totally assume this will be an E3 thing. Also, who knows how far along it is? If they, from what we heard, was supposed to be shown last TGS.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Sony is also willing to show games far, far out. I mean, we all love The Last Guardian, which is now, I want to say this will be its fifth or sixth year.
Yeah, but From Software is not really a studio that's, like, delay happy. They work on schedule, basically.
Well, no, I wasn't saying much delay happy, but, I mean, just because they're shown it, doesn't necessarily mean it's ready for prime time. Like it's necessarily going to be out within the year.
When was Dark Souls 2 announced and when did it come out? It came out this year, right?
And I think it was announced at the tail end of 2011? 2012, I guess.
2012?
Was it not announced at...
It was definitely at the game VGA. Trailers thing, VGA.
Yeah. It was announced in December 2012.
Right?
Yeah. But.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Could be, this year is unlikely, but could be a next year title.
Yeah, well, but I mean, is it, like, that's what I mean, like, is it going to be within the next calendar year? I mean, the next, from May to May, or is it going to be I guess it doesn't really matter.
Fiscal year. Let's say fiscal year.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a possibility.
Fiscal year is something I could see, like March or something.
Especially being, like we mentioned, they probably need all the support they can get in Japan right now. I mean, they are, I believe right now they are lagging behind the Wii U sales line for in Japan.
I'm
which
sure. But let's be honest, those are not high either.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, if the Wii U is doing that disastrous, and this, they don't need Japan.
Yeah. No one needs Japan at this point.
No, nobody needs it. The problem is, like, if Japan doesn't have a home console to support, like, we already, like, even, like, right now, there aren't a ton of Japanese games. Like, Capcom has Deep Down, which I think a lot of people are probably cold on now that they found that it's free to play.
That might actually be something Sony could be showing.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be. I would imagine that. I would imagine Kingdom Hearts. We get a new trailer more on Final Fantasy 15.
Yep. Maybe.
Yeah, I assume these games will be there, but again, it's like, when are they out? I imagine somebody's going to have a Metal Gear Solid 5 trailer.
I would assume there will be, Sony will have smaller titles, downloadable titles that will be ready for the end of the year.
Yeah.
Some titles that we might not have heard about yet.
I assume most of the titles they, because I mean, at this point, I don't know if they've ever announced a game, a major game that's come out the same year they announced it. Like, I think even with PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, that came out within a year, but it was announced at the end of the year before and came out there.
Maybe.
But I don't know how. I think that's so poor, but I wouldn't be opposed to them giving PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale in a port. I do think it probably has a better chance now. Well, I guess it really depends, because if people actually get the real Smash Brothers this year. But I do think it's a game they should give another chance. I do think they should probably rethink it.
And support it this time.
Maybe just make a sequel and maybe retool some things. I actually like the game, but...
Well, I mean, if part of it sucks is that the studio that made it no longer exists, but... Mm-hmm. But
well,
yeah,
that doesn't exclude a sequel, though.
Oh, no, it doesn't exclude a sequel. I'm just saying that they no longer exist. I've tried to think of what else they can have. And you say this, and we've named like more than...
I would say it's basically a fact they will have gameplay demos of Destiny and the new Assassin's Creed on stage.
Oh yeah, because I was going to say something. Ubisoft has to turn up, because they always do.
Yeah, because Ubisoft is only going to have some exclusive content deal with Sony, and Destiny already has it, so they will totally give on-stage demos.
I guess switching gears really quickly, do you expect much from the Vita at this show?
No.
Does anybody ever expect much of the Vita?
I expected much from the Vita the last 2 years, because I'm like, this is the year they finally have to get serious about it and announce some stuff. But I mentioned this to a friend, and I think it's kind of true. I think that indie show they had a couple of weeks ago was pretty much the Vita's E3 showing.
Pretty much.
I think last year was actually the year they should have had the title barrage, and they didn't, so it's not going to improve this year.
You know, I think it was dead the minute they started shifting the goalposts on it, you know. First it's a PS3 companion device, and now it's a PS4 companion device, because it has a remote play, and then they just sort of haven't mentioned that much since, and now it's just become what I call the port station Vita, which is to say it's just getting indie ports from PC, or it's getting indie games that get ported to PC eventually, so, you know... It's sad that, but they really should be supporting it, but they're just...
I imagine, and I don't fault them for this, especially being that they didn't know how this was going to turn out, but I can't fault them for putting all their resources behind the PS4, because I think...
Oh no, but they're still not fixing the Vita's problems, which is mainly the expensive goddamn fucking memory cards.
Well, I think because they have to make... If you're not selling a ton of hardware... The way to make up your money is to sell a ton of peripherals.
Problem is, if that peripheral is, like, basically essential to actually play the system...
Because, yeah, exactly. Because at this point, the system is basically a digital-only system.
Yeah, and that works for them.
Yeah, well, it works for them until you... Oh, and, you know, I would get a PS Vita, but I could buy a 2DS for the amount that it cost me to buy a 64GB memory card for that fucking thing. So I'm not going to bother.
But I assume at this point that Sony's no longer concerned about trying to get a lot of people to buy it. Instead, they're trying to get the people who already have it to support it. And they buy bigger memory.
It's been announced a couple of times that the Vita has high attach rates.
Yeah, and how do you get high attach rates? People buy your memory cards to download these games. Money, money, money.
Anyway, other studios. We still don't know what Sony Santa Monica is working on.
Oh yeah, I assume after the ass cancellation, I assume they're working on the God of War game.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's a given. What else would they be working on?
I just hope not. I don't know if I want to see another God of War.
You may not want to, but it sells well. And
did it? Ascension didn't.
Ascension didn't, but I think Ascension and I think Judgment are going to be chalked up to franchise fatigue or prequels and stuff like that. And they're like, okay, we'll just go with the new game. It's going to be better and people are going to buy this one.
If they actually do a lot with it, I might be interested. But Ascension was for me like, ugh, let's see, it's enough. Just like Judgment.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just, they're going to show new Gears, they're doing a new Gears of War, and that hasn't stopped them. And,
I mean,
yeah.
I heard a lot of, like, I mean, should we talk about the Sony guy that's on NeoGAF and the stuff he's been posting before? Like,
sure.
There was talk about a space game.
Okay.
That he was hinting at, and I have no idea which studio would be working on that. And I would assume Santa Monica, but if they are working on God of War, then...
I thought that rumor was that it was a space game, but that was a game that was cancelled from them. Or was that another title?
I think we don't know what this cancelled title was. We all knew who worked on it, but not what exactly it was.
But we knew it was a new IP. We knew that one got
canceled. Yeah, that's what we did know, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, most likely... Like, if you're a two-studio company, I imagine one of your studios is probably pumping out your big game, and the other one's pumping out the newer title to kind of support, you know, like, get the new idea. Like, how, you know, like, Naughty Dog does Uncharted, but they also do The Last of Us in between that. And I imagine they're doing Uncharted, and they probably have a second studio working on something now, even though a lot of those people are also on The Last of Us Remastered right now as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Sony has so many companies, so many damn studios.
I think this is the problem with Sony, is they have the most, like, opportunity to surprise.
Yeah, I actually talked about that earlier with someone. I think if someone is going to have surprises this E3, it's either going to be Nintendo or Sony. I think Microsoft will probably be the one that will be much, like, well-known stuff.
Well, like I said, I hope Microsoft has surprises, because right now their lineup is pretty much copy-paste from the past.
Yeah, that's probably exactly what you kind of expect from Microsoft, from what
I think it was last year or the year before, we used to joke that the Microsoft conference goes the same way. They start off with a gameplay demo of Call of Duty. They talk about third-party games with that weird wording to make it sound like an exclusive title, but it just means that. Then they kind of go on to, like, their entertainment stuff, and then it's, like, excuse, like, from this point on, it'll be all exclusive games, and it's like, oh, here's Halo, here's Gears of War, here's, like, Fable, and here's some Kinect titles, and that's pretty much been their template for the past 5 or 6 years.
Well, I mean, I think if they have an opportunity to change it up, it'll be this year, because we don't have Dometic anymore. So, yeah.
And thank God for that.
Yeah, thank God for that. Phil Spencer can actually present an interesting show.
I was going to say, this is also the first year without Jack Trenton.
Yeah, that's something we should probably talk about.
Yeah, that's
who's
what I brought
going
it
to
up.
Present?
Oh, I assume it's this new Sony, new Sony of America president, whose name I don't know.
I'm also not sure.
But those
I
are
mean, they have other guys who are really great at presenting. I mean, they are not the head of Sony of America, but they're really good at it.
I would put, seriously,
people might think it's a joke, but I would put Adam Boyce up there.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have one person presenting. Maybe it'll be a round robin of people.
I mean, they last year they had Tretton and Boyce up there, and... House as well, right?
Yeah.
But if I had to pick one guy, I would put Adam Boyce there. He's an entertaining fellow and really enthusiastic about games. He comes off as genuine.
And he doesn't
fuck things up too badly.
Well, I mean, that's part of what people enjoy about the press conferences, though, are the screw-ups, which is why people want them live. But it would be awesome if maybe they get Jack Tretton back for one last show.
Well, no, but they should get Jack Tretton back for one last show every show they do. That would be nice.
Just one more time.
Yeah, but
you know you want to, and he's like, alright.
I could see them bringing him back, maybe not for the full thing, but yeah, he hasn't gotten to say goodbye. And I think he's such a public face for them that it would be a nice moment to get him out there for like 5 minutes or whatever. Maybe talk about a game or the initiative he started while running Sony or something like that.
He's going to present Agent.
Oh, that's another studio. I guess it's too soon for them. Quantic Dreams.
We've already spoke about Beyond, so I think they'll be too busy.
Assume he might be responsible for that port.
Media Molecules?
Yeah, it would be all the time we see something from them, right? I mean, we saw they were working on something when they revealed the PS4, and they didn't show up at E3.
And they're done with Tearaway, and that's been behind them for quite a while now, so...
And I can't imagine that was the full resources of that company.
Well, no.
It is a tiny company, apparently. 47 people.
Yeah, but still, they're done with Tearaway, and they had some things working on PS4, so maybe?
Yeah.
It's totally possible, yeah.
If nothing else, I could see them teasing it, because it was announced last year that they had something on the way, and that's... Yeah,
I said, when the PS4 was revealed, they had a whole thing with the Move controllers.
Yeah, so I could see that being a thing.
Yep. We have to talk about the elephant in the room.
Which elephant is that?
The Last Guardian?
Oh. I've honestly just kind of pegged it as a running joke that's never going to happen.
Yeah, same. I mean, it'd be cool if we actually see it. Hopefully if we see it. That it shouldn't just be a teaser trailer. It needs to be gameplay. We need to see a game being played. It's just going to be a complete throwaway.
It's going to be the same trailer they've shown before, but now it's going to be exclusive for PS4 graphics. And it's going to end with coming soon.
Oh, God. I don't know if that would, like, be a relief to me, or if that just would infuriate me. When that happens,
I honestly want them to do that, just to do it. It could be announced and released this year, but I want them to end the show with coming soon, just to see people's reactions.
but what is this? This is a game. It's just high fantasy here. I don't know. I doubt it. But what if that actually was a game for this year?
It would have to be damn good. It would have to be really good, because otherwise, there's no way.
I feel like the Asgardian cannot live up to what the Asgardian has become. Because the Asgardian has become... Because, like we said, it's been 5 or 6 years in development. It's become this mythical game that... It's kind of partially running joke, but the way people... when you think about 5 years in development, you have to think it's going to be like this amazing, life-changing game.
And usually it isn't. I mean, games that are so long in development.
And this is it. If we name off games that have come out recently that have been that long in development, we've got Duke Nukem Forever, Bioshock Infinite...
Colonial Marines.
Yeah, Colonial Marines.
Too Human.
Yeah.
It's not the best track record... But here's the terrible thing about it. Even if this is a fantastic game, to some people it's just not going to live up to the expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think that's not a problem with the industry though. It's a problem with the fans, because we've only seen the teaser trailer and we haven't gotten any descriptions of the gameplay or anything.
Well, and that was my point. It's like it can't live up to what fans have made it out to be, no matter how good it turns out to be, because. It's the old horror movie trope in that a monster's scarier when you don't see it because you fill in all the blanks with your imagination. Yeah. And that's kind of what the Asgardian has become. It's like this game that we all filled in with all these details about it. Because we've actually never seen any gameplay of the actual game.
No, we've seen the teaser trailer. We've never got any explanation to it either.
But everybody has kind of made it out to be this huge thing. And if it's not, especially being that... I guess the game has been started and stopped often. It's a game that started development in like 2008, 2009, which means that it's also probably going to feel a bit antiquated to some people. because it is a game.
The thing for me is, well, I don't even know why, how people were able to build this game up so much. I mean, of course,
because it was Team Ico, that's all they need.
They have a pedigree, right? But from the gameplay side, we have no idea what that game is.
Yeah, and I think the reason people
because
were,
they have shown the us what that game is.
And that's the problem with this culture is we don't need any gameplay.
Yeah. But, I mean,
I don't get excited for anything until I see gameplay.
Yes, but Martin, you have to remember, but you can say, oh yeah, I need gameplay, but you are in the vast minority.
Yeah, but even though I think part of it, I feel like if this was like 2010, like people would, like it's just, you know, we talk about some of the games that Sony announced at E3, and there isn't a ton, you know, we are talking like these amazing games that everybody thinks going to be fantastic. But compare like The Last Guardian or even Agent, which at this point is Oyo Yogo, and
yeah.
The way people talk about it, it's like this. It's going to be Rockstar's magnus opus. It's going to be their.
I haven't seen anybody talk about Agent forever.
No,
so.
But people, because around this time, at this time, Agent and The Last Guardian are the two games that usually comes up for Sony because that's their two, I guess, elephants in the room.
Agent might not even be a game any longer.
Well, that's the thing. It's like every year they ask them about it. It's like they're still working on it. Ask Rockstar. Rockstar's like we're still working on it. Ask Sony. So it's like this ping pong. If it's not in for development anymore, come on and say it. Like so people don't bat it around. It's like that get because again it's going to be that thing that people are always going to chase. Like I said, it's not necessarily what we've had. It's what's next. And to a lot of people, the Last Guardian represented the next evolution, even if we saw no gameplay of it.
Hmm. Some people are weird.
Oh, a lot of people are weird. And I think part of it... I mean, I said this before. Even if the game does come out, I think it's been a terrible business decision from Sony to keep it in development this long. I know Team Ico has...
Oh, yeah. I would probably have canned it.
Yeah. There's no way they're going to recoup their money on that.
Yeah. But I guess they still see it as a marquee title. Like, you know, like your Oscar bait title.
I guess, but I mean,
you make films that are just going to do well during the Oscars, but don't do well financially, and
yeah, I guess I can see that but you know, like usually movie companies, like I just feel like Team Ico is going to be disbanded after this game comes out.
I mean, Team Ico technically never was a real team.
Oh, poor Team Ico.
They are not like a team that is collected of people that always work together. It's just the head guy and people he selects, and then they work on something.
I was about to say, at this point, they have to be a team because they've been working on the same game for 5 years.
Yeah, but I mean, from game to game, yeah, technically.
Oh yeah, I get that, but I just
the same team.
Like this is pretty much a brotherhood at this point.
Yeah.
We have presidents who have started terms than these. This game's been in development. We have basketball teams and sports teams that don't survive 5 years together.
Yeah.
And even that, I mean, even that we kind of know because the head of Team Ico isn't even with Sony anymore.
Yeah.
So,
he's just a contractor technically now.
But yeah, if they do show this game at E3, I imagine it has to be a... It can't be a teaser trailer. It can't be CG. It can't be like a 2 minute thing. It has to be like a full film gameplay demonstration, because people want to know if they show that it's actually something that's going to exist sometime within the immediate future.
Yeah, and I can't see anyone actually caring if it's just another teaser trailer, because it's been 5 years. Where is it? You know.
Yeah. They have to have something to show. After all this time.
Otherwise, get super worried about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think we're super worried about it now. Like I said, I think it's more myth than game at this point.
I'm not super worried. I barely think about this game at all, unless it's like E3 or TGS time and some people bring it up.
Yeah, I guess the thing is because people continuously bring it up. Because, like you said, there's really no reason to be excited for it other than to be excited for it that it's a game.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's
the games I'm excited about are the games I've actually seen stuff from.
Yeah, yeah. I was also going to say, maybe I didn't even know this came out until Sony. Like, I was gonna say maybe a Rain HD port for PSN.
What?
I imagine Rain. That was the name of that.
That Donald title.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's how.
I don't know. It wasn't really that great.
I was gonna say we'll probably. I think. How much do you think they'll have on Morpheus, if anything?
I think they'll just have like a couple of game demos and say, and this will have Morpheus support eventually.
Yeah, I actually don't think we will get like a Morpheus demo or something. That whole thing seems at this point still too much pie in the sky. Like,
okay, because I was just I forgot which journalist was tweeted this, but somebody was like, it looks like this is going to be the E3 or where we wear a bunch of headsets. And that made me think of, because I don't think Oculus has a demonstration, so that made me.
Oculus needs it though, because it has widespread third party support anyway.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like somebody was tweeting, so I don't know if it's gonna be. I thought that would mean like there will probably be some live Morpheus demos during the press conference.
On the other hand, Sony did say that Morpheus is now running on actual PS4s. So,
oh, yeah.
Maybe, but demoing a VR headset is kind of terrible, because you can't experience as a viewer what the guy actually using it is.
What they'll do is I reckon they'll have all the demos they had before on the floor.
Yeah, but I mean, if they do it during the press conference.
No, I don't think they will. They can't be that stupid. They'll just say in this game that Ubisoft is making or whatever will have Morpheus support.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That will probably be the extent of it. I just don't think they'll put anyone with a headset on stage and you see it in 2D and just basically the only thing you as viewer can see is that his head movement is actually doing something in game. I don't think they will do that.
Okay. Do you think we'll have much on PlayStation Now? Or is that just something
they
you
have
kind
to
of
talk about it. They have to, I reckon they will demo it.
Yeah, it's starting soon, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the beta is already out and stuff like that, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
I would imagine that the only thing they would probably have to talk about is like, here are the games that are going to launch with the service or something. Like, you get a quick trailer.
And here's the planned rollout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That like, most of that, yeah, most of that could be handled in a press release as well. I think that's
we don't know. It all depends on how much. It all depends, like, how much Sony has. Like we said, we have a lot of unknowns with Sony. A lot of studios are missing in action at this point. And it also depends on some level what third party support they can get beyond Destiny Creed, which I would assume they might still get something else. I mean, the PS4 has been doing well, and in cases like that, publishers open their pockets for money.
Is all gone? Have we lost him?
No, am I still?
Now we hear you.
Yeah. Is there any other final predictions or thoughts about Sony before we begin to wrap up?
Like I said before, they probably get this surprise more than anybody else, because they have the most opportunity to do so.
Yeah, except maybe Nintendo, but I guess we can talk about Nintendo next week then.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with Kyle Boston on Nintendo, but
yeah,
we'll get there. So yes, for Martin, Daniel, and myself, this has been Dual World in episode 142. I hope.